Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Tune into Sai.
Spend the day with Sai.
6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m. on Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Radio Sai Thursday Live.
Offering myself at Bhagwan's lotus feet, this is Karuna from Team Radio Sai. Om Shri Sairam, dear listeners and dear brothers and sisters, welcome to Morning Glory, coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, India, the spiritual capital of the universe. I hope you enjoyed Sunrise with Sai earlier this morning, followed by the live Vedam and Bhajans from the Sai Kulwanthal. We are now back at the Radio Sai studios, and the time here right now is exactly 42 minutes past 9 a.m., that is Indian Standard Time. Today is Thursday, February the 9th, 2017. The morning temperature in Prashanti Nilayam right now continues to be an easy breezy 23 degrees Celsius, and the general outlook for the day is clear with sunny skies. Overnight lows are close to 20 degrees Celsius these days. But I have to inform you that slowly but surely, Mr. Golden Sun is making his presence felt in the afternoons, with the mercury rising to the early 30s, that is in Celsius. What is even more heartwarming, and all puns are intended, is that we are likely to touch mid-30s very quickly in the afternoons over the course of this week, towards the weekend. And once the sun starts shining on us, it does so in all its glory, I guess. But still, all said and done, the weather in the Divine Valley continues to be unseasonably pleasant right now. And it's nice to see a whole lot of Western devotees trying to soak in all the vitamin D they possibly can absorb by sitting on that little low wall across from our office. And speaking of foreigners, it looks like a substantial mix of the world population has descended here in the ashram, along with a high number of people from Chinese-speaking countries, I should say, and Indians from north and northeast parts of Bharat. The Chinese, of course, were here to usher in the year of the rooster. And I guess the freezing temperatures in north and northeast of India make Puttaparthi a very desirable destination for a lot of devotees. But the actual reason everyone is pouring into the ashram is because on February 24th begins the sacred Mahashivaratri celebration in the ashram. And as Mahashivaratri is exceptionally powerful and important opportunity for those seeking to achieve their spiritual goals, the one place we can all sublimate our egos, our fears, anger, and the desire to control everyone else and everything around us is, of course, Prashanti Nilayam, the undisputed seat of ultimate truth, beauty, and goodness. Dear listeners, it is time to come home and bask in the love of the Purna Avatar, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Let's all sanctify our lives by singing the glory of the Lord with all our hearts and souls throughout the sacred night of 24th Feb, and expel all traces of our negative traits from our divine soul. This is our make or break moment to emerge as grand, good and godly. And right now is the moment to plan your visit to Parthi. Be sure to be here in time for the 12-hour bhajans that will begin at 6 p.m. on the evening of Friday, February 24th, and conclude the next morning at 6 a.m. on Saturday, that is February 25th. Actually, I should correct myself. On Friday, February 4th, I think we will begin with the usual Vedam and Veda chanting and maybe perhaps a speech or something by 4:30, usual time. But bhajan will start after that and it will continue till next morning. So, evening of February 24th, you should be seated in the Kulwant Hall by 4:30. And we can all accept our partake of the delicious hot prasadam and leave after singing the glory of the Lord for 12 hours in the morning. By 6 a.m., the Mangal Aarti will conclude on February 25th. So starting on the evening of Feb 24th, concluding on the morning of Feb 25th. And what better way to prepare ourselves for this wonderful month than by staying tuned to the sacred vibe of Prashanthi Nilayam coming to you live from Radio Sai Global Harmony. And dear listeners, a friendly reminder that we come to you through six streams, 24/7. And if you're looking to earn some serious good karma, I have a suggestion for you. Why don't you introduce another interested soul to Radio Sai and teach them how they can access it easily and earn some brownie points from God. Meanwhile, I have a great show lined up for you this morning to keep you glued and clued to the divine love of Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba coming to you from his abode in Prashanthi Nilayam. A brand new episode of your favorite program, Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, is yours to enjoy this morning. My colleague Bishop Rushti brings us an interview with Mr. Kapil Jawa of New Delhi. But first, I'm pleased to inform you that I have a studio guest here with me who is gaining worldwide popularity these days as the favorite of so many of our listeners as the deep-voiced Uncle Lion. Around here, he used to be Raghuram Bhat, but he shot to fame as Uncle Lion, the main protagonist of our Uncle Lion's animated series of value stories for children. Sairam Raghu and welcome to Morning Glory.
Saram to you and saram to all the listeners of Radio Sai. A warm welcome and a warm good morning to all of you.
So, Raghu, congratulations on the successful launch of Season 2 of Uncle Lion's Tales.
Thank you very much. I am extremely grateful to Swami for giving me this opportunity of being a part of this wonderful series.
Yes, you are indeed the project coordinator. Now, tell us about the new season, that is Season 2.
Yeah, this Uncle Lion's Tales. I'm sure most of the listeners will be aware of this, and I'm also sure that whoever has seen these cartoons are liking it, just as we are liking it, making it. And as part of Swami's 90th birthday, we got the chance to upload the Season 1 of the cartoons, and Season 1 of the cartoons had about 50 short cartoons, and after seeing the cartoons, I'm sure most of the listeners will be aware of the format of the cartoons. It's like there's a character Lion, he's called Uncle Lion, and he narrates the story. At the end of the story, he gives the moral that can be learned from the story. So after a great positive response from the listeners, after seeing the Season 1 of the cartoons, we were encouraged, and with the support of Swami, with the blessings of Swami, we could start the Season 2 of the Uncle Lion's Tales. And this started in the month of November last year as part of Swami's 91st birthday. So if you ask me what is the difference between Season 1 and Season 2, there are two ways in which these cartoons are made. The first way is that the cartoons are already made in German language. They are ready-made cartoons, and we just dub it from German to English. Well, before that, I would like to thank Mr. Saller and team from Germany, who are actually producing these cartoons. There's a company called Saller Sports Company in Germany. The head of this company is Mr. Saller. He is Swami's devotee. And he gets these cartoons done by a professional animation company which is based in Kolkata in West Bengal, India. So, as I said, there are two ways. The first way is they have already got a set of cartoons made the cartoons with moral lessons, and they have given us the permission to dub it into English. So almost all of the cartoons of season 1 are dubbed cartoons from German to English. And there were a few restrictions for us because of this, like the duration of the cartoons we couldn't change, and also the story we couldn't change, the characterization. So there were a few feedbacks from the listeners, from the viewers, saying that the duration should be a little longer, which we could incorporate by Swami's grace in season 2. So if you ask me the difference between season 1 and 2, the difference, main difference is the duration is longer. And we, few cartoons in season 2, the script for these cartoons are given by Radio Sai. So the moral and lessons from these cartoons are, have more elements of Swami's teachings and are based and are focused on Swami's message.
Yes, we can see that with each episode, the series is getting more and more interesting. And of course, I'm glad you brought it up that how beholden and grateful we are to Mr. Saylor for the generosity of his company and himself in supporting this project so wholeheartedly. This would not have taken off without his support.
Yes.
In every way.
Correct. Every critical way, the support is very much appreciated.
So if you're listening, Mr. Saylor, along with all our, at least hundreds of thousands of our viewers who enjoy it every single week, and all of us at Team Radio Sai, a big thank you and Sai Ram. Now, Raghu, without being overly modest, can you tell our listeners about the response to season 1?
Yeah, there were a lot of positive responses. Many like these cartoons. In fact, these cartoons are played in during Bal Vikas classes and study circles by the Bal Vikas gurus. The season, as I said, the season 1 had 50 cartoons, and if we just play these cartoons one after another, like if you go to Radio Sai site and if they play the first cartoon, immediately after the first cartoon gets over, the second cartoon starts and it keeps playing. And if you see the duration of all these 50 cartoons is about 1.5 hours.
Okay.
And it also has got about 15 to 20 chinnakathas.
Of Swami.
Yeah, Swami. So it's a very good tool for children and also for elders also. If it is educative for children and thought-provoking for young adults, these cartoons are like reminders for elders. Because each cartoon gives a message based on Swami's teachings. Like, for example, if you take in season 2, there are a few cartoons like the cartoon titled The Echo.
I remember that one very well.
Yeah. In that cartoon, it gives a message like we should always be good, do good and see good. Whatever we do to others, we get back.
Yeah. What goes around comes around.
Yeah. So that is one nice message which we get from the cartoon. Then there is one more cartoon about grandmother and grandson. They go in for a walk in the garden, and that cartoon gives a message that everything is planned by God. Whatever happens is good for us, and we should accept whatever is happening in our life. So if you see, these cartoons gives positive messages. That's what the feedback we got from the listeners.
I think it's I see it as a great source of edutainment.
It's
entertaining, education which is entertaining. So, you know, edutainment is rightly the phrase to use for it. And instead of children watching all sorts of violence and bad language on TV through other animations, it's a nice, as you said, season 1 can keep a child glued to the iPad or a TV for an hour and a half.
Correct.
Especially while they are traveling or in the car or, you know, waiting at an airport. It's such a constructive way to keep a child occupied. And of course, I also reviewed the feedbacks, and a lot of our parents, grandparents, SSC teachers, everybody has commented that what a nice aid it is for them to bring to class or to bring to the house to keep their children, to bring a nice message to the children.
In fact, even after each SSC class or Bal Vikas class, the Bal Vikas guru can play one or two cartoons and they can discuss the message with the children.
Exactly. Because children can relate to the characters. All the characters have been designed keeping in mind the needs of young people,
correct,
little people. Now, Raghu, how do you go about planning a typical episode?
Yeah, as I said, there are two ways. One is just dubbing the ready-made cartoon from German to English. In that case, we have to focus only on the voiceovers, which we recorded here in the studio.
But first you have to translate and make sure the duration of your translation matches the movement of the lips of your characters.
Yeah, correct. We will get the translated script from German to English, but it has to be edited properly here. And when we record the voiceovers, as you said, the time syncing is very important so that there will be consistent and it will look good when the animation is done properly. And the second way is, how it's done is we give the stories to the animation company.
And they make the storyboard accordingly.
Yeah, That's a slightly long process. It starts from first with the storyboard. Storyboard is like a sequence of drawings and illustrations with directions and dialogue representing different shots which has to be planned for the animation. So first the animation company does the storyboard after seeing the script. Then we have to approve the storyboard. In fact, sometimes we suggest the changes, they make the changes, they send the take two of the storyboard, and sometimes again there will be some changes required further. So for a couple of cartoons, the takes went on 3-4 times.
Oh, I see.
And once the storyboard is fixed, then the animators draw the characters and background designs.
I see.
And again, here some important facts, like when they draw the characters, we have to make sure that the characters are dressed properly, because in Sai family, that's very important.
Yes, they have to meet our standards of modesty and good taste.
Yeah, correct.
Exactly.
So this is one freedom we have in season 2 of Uncle Len, which we didn't have in season 1. And just because of this dressing code, we have to reject few cartoons in season 1.
I see. Because, you know, we have to make sure that when we convey Swami's message, the medium also has to become the message. Each of the characters should also represent the standards that Swami has set for us.
Yeah. And once the characters are fixed, then they go ahead with the animation. And again, in animation, they send us few takes. We suggest them the changes and they make the changes accordingly. Now, after the animation is freezed, then they compose the background design and background music and add sound effects to it. And that way they complete the animation. So for one typical animation of just 3 or 4 minutes, it takes about 2 months' time.
Really? Wow. So much of behind the work, scenes work.
Correct.
I had no idea, honestly. That's a lot of time. And you know, people keep saying, writing to us, make it longer. Little do we realize, even I keep telling you, can you make the episodes longer? How much of work goes behind each little episode? Now, you're able to release a fresh episode on every Saturday. How do you manage this workflow? Because I know you're working on various episodes simultaneously, and most of it is driven by goodwill and volunteerism. So, are there any challenges?
Well, we always say it's not we who is doing, it's Swami who is doing. So even if there are small challenges, Swami will make sure that we overcome it. The main challenge is having a good script and good story. That is the main thing. So we keep doing some research by going through various Chinnakathas of Swami and different analogies that Swami has told in Swami's Divine Discourses. And in Radio Sai side, we have got the Get Inspired section, which has got a lot of stories. So we take these stories from these different sources and we script it. That scripting is very important. It should be scripted properly by writing the dialogues for different characters. Mm-hmm. It should be in a dialogue format. That is also very important. And then one small challenge is getting proper voices. There are some child characters which are required for the animation. And again, here there are 2-3 ways. Like some of us elders can change our voice and make it sound childish. That is one way. There is another way, like even through softwares we can tweak the voices. But if we do that way, it won't be very natural.
Yeah. I know. In one episode, Prem was supposed to be my little child.
Yeah.
But I was telling him, the cartoon is like a little boy, 6-year-old. I am the mama. And you sound like a university-going kid who is asking me 6-year-old worth of age compatible questions. So it didn't match very well.
Correct.
I have
that
to
is
admit.
One mistake
yeah.
in the recent cartoon.
Yeah.
Let him decide. I know that.
Yeah, that episode, yes.
So to get the correct voices is one challenge. So for this, we approach Swami School here at Parthi. And again, there are the timings for the recording should be correct. We have to take prior permissions from the school teacher so that it won't clash with the classes for the boys.
Yeah, and the child has to be chaperoned and they have to get the script. So yes, I understand. Now, speaking of voices, I have a very fundamental question. Raghu, how do I always get to voice over for a cow or a fish or a goat and sometimes a mom? Now, what do I need to get myself upgraded to a better role?
In fact, I feel it's a good role for you to be.
Really?
One of these characters. I wish I could do that if I can change my voices. In fact, you have also given voice for a parrot, right?
Yes. I've been every species of God's creation.
We are actually in making of one more cartoon, and for that you are given voice for a sheep.
I remember I've been a sheep, and usually a mama sheep, a mama cow, a big fat fish. Yes, actually I'm looking for a more interesting role, perhaps, you know, as the coordinator of this project. You should keep my request in mind. Now, what's next on the go for Uncle Lion?
Yeah, we here at Radio Sai are very ambitious because we know that it's Swami who is doing it, and it will happen.
And nothing but the best for Swami.
Yeah, correct. So, after, as of now, you'll be knowing that we are animating stories which give Swami's messages, but we want to animate Swami's life story itself. Different episodes from Swami's childhood.
That sounds wonderful.
If you see our Radio Sai site, there is already one comic series called His Story.
Yes.
Which has got about 30 episodes, and that covers episodes from Swami's birth to the time when Swami declared His avatarhood by singing the bhajan Manasa Bhajare Guru Charana.
But those are not animated. Those are just cartoon scripts.
Yeah, they are just drawings.
Yeah.
So we want to animate such episodes and bring it in the form of cartoons, Swami's childhood life stories. So that is the next project that we want to do. And I'm very happy that Mr. Sailor has agreed for this. A million thanks to him.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Sailor.
So this is one project. And after, it will take a lot of time, at least a couple of years for completing this project. And once this is done, we want to freeze it into a animation movie, if possible, on Swami's childhood.
Wow. That sounds wonderful. Now, what about taking Uncle Lions to larger audiences who are non-English speaking?
Yeah, that way also we have started right now dubbing the English cartoons into Hindi, which is India's national language, so that we can reach the Hindi speaking people in India. And also we have started dubbing it into Telugu also. So these two languages we will cover in Radio Sai. I hope we'll dub it into other languages also. In fact, if you see in our YouTube channel, already I think Spanish language, they are putting subtitles for the cartoons.
Already.
Yeah. English voiceover will be there, but subtitles in Spanish language. So that is also one good way of reaching the Spanish devotees.
True, but small children may not be able to read subtitles because, you know, by age of 5 or 6,
correct.
It's hard to read.
Okay.
I'm curious to know, what will be the name of Uncle Lion in Hindi?
Yeah, as of now, it's Sheru Mama.
Sheru Mama, sounds...
Sheru Mama ki kahaniya.
Sheru Mama ki kahaniya sounds very nice. And now, if our listeners want to participate in any way in Uncle Lion's tales or Sheru Mama ki kahaniya, wo kya kar sakte hain?
हाँ, वे हमें अच्छे स्टोरीज भेज सकते हैं. दे कैन ऑलवेज सजेस्ट नाइस स्टोरीज, मॉरल स्टोरीज एंड हेल्प अस इन स्क्रिप्टिंग.
आई सी. सो इफ दे हैव अ गुड स्टोरी दैट दे कम अक्रॉस, दे कैन शेयर द स्क्रिप्ट टू विद अस थ्रू लिसनर एट radiosci.org. Okay, with and perhaps on the subject line, you can say attention Raghu or attention Uncle Lion, and you know it will reach the right person.
Correct.
Raghu, anything else you wish to add?
Yeah, I wish. I just want to add that this is a very good medium for all to get to know more about Swami's message. As I said, for children, it's educative. And for young adults, it's thought-provoking.
It's educative and entertaining.
Yeah, entertainment.
Edutainment.
Correct. Nice word, edutainment. And even for elders also, it's like a reminder. We always need reminders in our life because we get carried away by the busy life, and a reminder is always welcome.
And the reminder need not be complicated. A simple, sweet animation with little butterflies flying, flowers blooming, nice clouds against a blue sky. It looks so idyllic. It's nice. It's refreshing.
I would also like to add that these cartoons is available in DVD format already.
Really?
The two DVDs are available. Volume 1 of Uncle Lion's Tale and Volume 2 of Uncle Lion's Tales. And both the DVDs has got 30 cartoons each. And in a couple of months, we'll be releasing Volume 3 of Uncle Lion's Tales. And
I think that's a great resource for all teachers and parents and uncles and aunts and grandparents to have to keep children occupied. And also, it makes a great gift for somebody who has a little child.
Correct.
Even if they're not into Swami or Sai devotees, I think they will very much appreciate the lessons that Uncle Lion shares.
That's what I wanted to add. If you see these cartoons, it's not that we are talking about Swami, but we are concentrating on Swami's message.
Correct.
Each cartoon gives one Swami's message. So it's not restricted only for Swami's family. It's for all these cartoons, if you see.
Because his message is applicable and useful to everybody. And that's what the cartoons carry.
Thank you very much for having me today.
It's great to have had you. Very nice. Dear listeners, this is the voice of Uncle Lion. So children, here is the message. That is Mr. Uncle Lion here. Thank you very much. And dear listeners, what are your thoughts on the new season of Uncle Lion? That every Saturday we release a new episode. Please make sure you go to our website and watch one and send us your feedback to today's interview as well as to the series at listener@radiosci.org. Thanks, Raghu, and Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
And now I'm going to leave you to enjoy a deeply engaging episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories. This interview is hosted by my colleague, Mr. Bishu Prushti, and under the spotlight today is Sai University alumnus, Mr. Kapil Jawa of New Delhi, India. Please enjoy this interview, and if you wish to listen to more episodes of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, just try this shortcut, radiosci.org/Sai Students. Sai Students is one word and is plural, ends with an S. There at that link, radiosci.org/Sai Students, you will find hundreds of episodes of interesting interviews with Baba students, his beloved property, his sweet darlings who are now spread around the globe and remain devoted to his teachings. And please, don't forget to send us your response to today's episode of Morning Glory. That includes the interview with Uncle Lion, also known as Raghu, and Fleeting Moments with Mr. Kapil Jawa, or any other Radio Sai programs. We always look forward to your thoughts, comments and suggestions at listener@radiosci.org. With that, I wish you a saisome awesome day ahead. And please, enjoy Fleeting Moments with Kapil Jawa. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, our series of conversations with former students of Bhagwan's educational institutions. Today is December 30th, 2016, and this is the time when alumni of Bhagwan's educational institutions gather to collectively offer their gratitude to Bhagwan for all the indelible moments and the incredible lessons of life that Bhagwan has bestowed them with. And by his grace, we have in the studio today Brother Kapil Jawa. Kapil Jawa joined the Sri Sathya Sai Higher Secondary School way back in 1993. He went on to do his bachelor's in commerce in the Brindavan campus of Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning. He moved to Prashant Nilam campus for his post-graduation for his master's in business administration, and once he completed this in year 2000, with Bhagwan's blessings, he started his corporate career initially with Citigroup, and later on he moved to Genpact, and he's been working with Genpact for 12 years now, and he's grown in the organization. The organization has a lot of respect for him. He is currently the vice president looking after the analytics business, and he's based in Delhi. And Kapil is someone who is also associated with a lot of initiatives of Sai Youth in Delhi. He's someone for whom this connect with Swami is very precious, and he visits Prashant Nilayam frequently. He participates in the service initiatives in Delhi. There is a very beautiful initiative called Life is a Game Played, wherein Bhagwan's message of how to be happy, how to lead a life where you can be successful in every respect, how to convey the eternal messages that have been given to us by our sages in a manner that is palatable to the current generation. So this is what the Love is a Game series of presentations in various colleges and schools happen in Delhi, and Kapil is associated with that. He's also associated with the medical camps and the Slum Seva and various other initiatives of the Sai organization, especially the Sai youth in Delhi. And as I told you, for him this connect with Swami is very important. This is what powers him to be what he is today. I am really happy that on the sidelines of the alumni meet, we could manage to meet by his grace and have this conversation. So with gratitude to Bhagwan, I welcome you, Kapil, to Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Saram Prushti, thank you so much for giving me this opportunity. In fact, it's like Radio Sai, I should thank Radio Sai and your team and yourself for doing this for us. Whenever I'm driving down to work, when I'm really down in life, what comes to our rescue is Radio Sai. Oh, so I really wanted to thank you for that. And it's indeed an honor to come here and actually be live on Radio Sai. Thank you so much, Sarah.
Wonderful. So tell us, Radio Sai now connects you to Swami, but how did this connect with Swami happen?
Well, actually, I really don't have a very, one of those out of the world experiences of coming to Swami. It was very natural for me. My parents were Swami's devotees. So the moment I was born, I grew up in a Swami's family. So my father has been Swami's Sevadal since the early 70s. And so I grew up in a Sai family. And somewhere during my 9th and 10th standard, I think Delhi had its effect on me. Mm-hmm. And I was going a little wayward. Academics were going down, everything was going haywire. So my parents said, you know what, the best thing is to put him in Swami's school in Puttaparthi. And so there, in 11th class, I landed myself in Swami school in Puttaparthi. And you were my classmate.
So everything went smooth as far as the joining in the higher secondary school was concerned?
Not really, actually. It was not easy from growing up in Delhi to suddenly coming to Parthi and, suddenly being exposed to a very, very bare, simple life, sleeping on the floor and, standing in queues, not getting the parathas which my mom used to serve me, and getting the rasam rice and sambar rice. So it was not easy, but I can tell you one thing. I think the first 2-3 months were very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. In fact, I even contemplated going back to Delhi.
But adjusting to the food and environment was not so easy.
Yeah, it was tough. Yes, so okay. I, in fact, contemplated. I was a very pampered child. But I remember, it was like Swami came back from Vrindavan. Swami went in 93, Swami went to Vrindavan for a very long time.
Yes.
And I think when we came back to Vrindavan, it was like a long pause of several months.
Yes, yeah.
And I think that first darshan that I had, that just changed me completely. I don't know what happened, but when he came, got down from the car, it was a sudden emotional outburst. And, it felt like, and he came and he just walked past me and gave me a very reassuring look that I'm there for you. You know,
wow.
He didn't speak a word, but it was such an emotional outburst that, you know, after that, everything felt very different. And I just fell in love with this place and spent the next 7 years of my life there.
Wow. So just that first darshan had such an mesmerizing effect on you. It's almost like he walked out of the car and he walked into your heart.
It was exactly like that. I just can't explain it. I think I've never felt like that ever since, you know. It was one of those moments, you know, that everybody has some moment with Swami, right?
Yes.
When he deeply, deeply touches you. And this was a moment when he actually didn't speak to me. He just like walked past me and, you know, I felt very comforted. In fact, every year you come back here in Puttaparthi, New Year's, you feel that same sense of comfort. You feel protected in Puttaparthi and, you know, you feel that he's there for you.
Yes.
So that was the feeling that I had at that point in time.
Wow. Fantastic. So, the connect happened immediately, the moment you saw him, and after that perhaps you would have spent the rest of your life, like it happens with every student, how to get one more moment with him, how to connect with him even deeper, how to experience a little more of him, isn't it?
Exactly, like, you know, I think a lot of us in our teenage, we were like, for us, he was our first love, you know, for all time, you know. If any songs you listen, and you know, you just think about him.
Yes.
So after that, it was just that, you know, like growing up in his love.
Yeah, absolutely. And you continue to grow up in his love.
Yeah, all the time.
So share with us some moments in the higher secondary school as a Swami's school student. I think there were very beautiful moments with Bhagwan, especially in 93, 94. I think there was a time when Bhagwan used to spend a lot of time with the students and especially the school students. I remember Swami came once for the exhibition.
Yeah. He did. And I think it was those beautiful times, right? He came for the exhibition and I had made a project which was like, you know, I think everybody used to make different projects and, you know, so what I had done was I had it was like you place your hand and then it tells you your future or, you know, there's a pre-recorded stuff going on. So I had something recorded for Swami and then Swami put on the headphones and he listened to his his life. So it was very beautiful, memorable times, you know. He would come to the school, he would come and give us darshan in hostel.
Yes.
And especially the board exams, right, the 12th class, those beautiful times when he would give us morning darshan. He blessed us with two interviews for the class.
Yeah, so what are your memories from those interviews, Kapil?
I think my most beautiful memory was he telling us very, very clearly that, you know, that for Lakshmana, I think he said that discipline was like his shadow.
Yes.
It, wherever you go, whatever Swami's teachings he has taught you, they should follow you like a shadow. It's not that, you know, you leave them in Puttaparthi. And I think one of the boys in our class, he saw some water droplets on the wall.
Yes.
And he said, Swami, there is leakage on the wall. And Swami said, why don't you go out and see if it is raining? And when we saw there was no rain, then he said, why don't you taste it and see it? And then some of us tasted that and it was like, you know, the taste was very salty and, and it seemed as if he said, I'm giving you so much love that even the walls are crying.
Wow. Yes.
Yeah. So it was those beautiful times, right? And he giving us Parker pens to write the board exams.
Yes.
And I still wonder how, you know, I think I attempted a paper for 95 marks and I left the 5 marks and I got 95.
Oh.
So there must be the Parker pen that he gave us.
The power of the Parker pen.
The power of the Parker pen, yeah.
Wow, amazing. Fantastic. In fact, you know, when you think about those moments, you know, as you mentioned these interview moments, you know, every student has his own interview moment, which has become his interview moment, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, Kapil, I think when we ask each of the students, all of our classmates, you know, everyone brings out one thing.
One thing.
Which other person doesn't remember.
Exactly.
You know, and I think that is what Bhagwan is, you know, he's connected with everyone, he's so special.
So special, yeah. And I also remember, you know, and I think in 12th class, I asked Swami that my parents have come here, please give them an interview. And he just assured me saying, I will give. No, he said, I'll call you. Huh? And I waited and their trip got over. He never called. And after that, you know, throughout the graduation, throughout the MBA, several trips were made by them. He never called them. And I remember he used to leave for Vrindavan after Shivratri.
Yes.
And it was the year 2000 when we were passing out. And he, Swami had almost stopped giving interviews during that time, I think, in 2000. It was very selective people who yes. used to get interviews. And my parents were no VIPs at that point in time. So, you know, so I think it was just before Shivratri. It was the last day. And the next day, the Akhand Bhajan was to start. And in the evening, I was sitting. I'm saying, he promised me. So I thought that probably that day, again, with a lot of hope, I sat thinking he'll give us an interview. And he came and he went for darshans. Interview didn't happen. And I sat in the bhajan hall and I was really praying out to him. I said, you promised me in my 12th class and now I'm at the end of my academic career and it has not happened yet. And that was it. Next day morning, I think my parents sat and in the evening, the Akhand Bhajan was to start. And from like, you know, out of nowhere, and my parents were sitting, he actually called my parents for an interview the next day morning.
Wow.
And that was the last day he gave interview to people before he left for Vrindavan. And immediately after Akhand Bhajan, he left for Vrindavan. So, and it was my parents' 25th marriage anniversary that day.
Oh my
right?
God.
So a lot of things, you know, if you look back in 12th standard, he gave me a promise that he will fulfill it. And just the preceding evening, I was sitting in the bhajan hall praying to him that you have not fulfilled your promise. But I think, you know, whatever he says has to happen. And it was beautiful that, you know, and I think in the afternoon, someone came to me and told me, your parents were called for an interview this morning. I said, are you for real? Like, did this actually happen? Like, it was unbelievable, like, almost unbelievable. And I think, like that, so many things have happened, you know, which make you believe that he's always there with you.
Wow, fantastic. And I think with Bhagwan, patience is so important.
Right.
And also to completely have that indomitable faith in his love, in his word. And I think then everything works out because he knows what is the best time.
Absolutely.
And I think, you know, he made it so memorable for them. When you look at it, it came on their 25th anniversary and it came at a time when you were actually leaving Bhagwan's institute. They wanted that assurance. Yeah. I think at that point in time, it meant so much for them. Isn't it? Getting that assurance from Bhagwan, where Bhagwan would definitely assure them he's going to be there with you.
Yeah.
And you know, I think as long as the student is there in Bhagwan's institution, all the parents are completely relaxed. They know that everything is taken care of. Nothing ever is going to happen. If anything that happens to them, it'll be only for his good and he's only going to grow in the right direction. I think every parent is sort of convinced about it. So they don't really spend sleepless nights.
Yeah.
What is going to happen to my child? Has he come back home? Is he fine? Is he safe?
Yeah, and I think I can tell you, I think during my Vrindavan days, I think life is not always comfortable in Swami's colleges as well. He does test you.
Yes.
Because I think Swami has said that, you know what, a lot of people go to him and says, why do we, being close to you, we still suffer while being students? I think he has assured that, you know, I do that with a plan because yes. I don't want to keep you in a place so that when you go out in the world, you suddenly, you realize that, you know, the world is not as comfortable and as smooth as what it was in Prashanti Nilayam. So he actually prepares you for it. And during my Vrindavan days, you know it, you were my classmate.
Yes.
I was a chronic asthmatic.
Yes.
Yeah. And I think, I don't even remember, there would be times when I would take 20, 25 puffs in a night and I won't even know how many I took in the night. And climbing a floor was like a big task in itself. In my first year, I think I never got a chance to tell this to Swami. In my first year, I finally told this to Swami. And that, Swami, I have asthma and I have breathing difficulties in the night. So he said, I know. In fact, he said, last night also you were suffering with asthma.
Wow.
And then he asked me, what is your name? I said, Kapil. So the very fact that he asked me that question out of nowhere, he said, Kapil, your name has Kapi in it. It means monkey. Kapi means monkey. And he said a monkey keeps jumping from a tree to tree and he develops the breathing difficulties. And he started telling me that, you know, he literally did like how a breathing asthma attack is.
Mm.
And then he said, I know, that's why you get it. So stop, you know, jumping from tree to tree. So he probably meant something very different. I think he Astama is very linked to, it has a psychological connection to it. But he immediately materialized Vibhuti, and I was holding Vibhuti in my hands, and then he said, no, have it right now in front of me. So I took it, and I think from that day onwards, my asthma like kept going down, and you know it. I used to ride a rickshaw after that from hostel to hostel to North Indian canteen, foreigners canteen, since I used to work in fruit stall.
Yes.
And I, as an asthmatic, suddenly for me to, you know, be riding rickshaw up and down was like as if I have suddenly, you know, a guy who had paralysis has suddenly started running. It was pretty much that.
Yes.
And the feeling was on top of the world that I've suddenly, you know, where has this come from? And I think it was Swami's grace which allowed me to get there.
Wow. And you actually participated in the events in the sports meet.
Absolutely, yeah. Swami's grace. It just, whether it was the bike stunts and other things happened, you know, and...
Yeah. Wow. I think, you know, when we look at our life, there are so many these, some small, some big, in so many ways he has touched us such unimaginably that we at times perhaps don't even recognize or realize the amount of difference he has made to our lives.
Absolutely. I think as the list just goes on, and you know, I sometimes feel I don't even think we would have any identity of ourselves, or if not for him, like we would not be, like we would have probably not had any existence if not for him.
Huh? He's the hero.
He is the hero of our lives. You know.
Wow. So in Vrindavan, you had this life-giving experience. I think in your 11th class, he actually sort of ensured that he enters you. He enters you in a manner that you connect with him. And then in Vrindavan, perhaps this connection only became stronger, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, you felt that if there's anyone who can do anything for me, it is only him.
It's only him.
He is the one who can recreate me at every moment. I think that's what perhaps happened in your Vrindavan days.
Absolutely.
So how was it when you came to Puttaparthi now doing your management? You always wanted to do MBA here?
I think more than doing MBA, it was just you want to be with Swami for two more years.
Yes.
And so there was no MCOM.
Yes.
So the obvious choice for BCOM guys was to get into, you know, do MFM or MBA. And
yes.
So MFM happened for me, Masters in Financial Management,
yes,
which is MBA in Finance,
yes,
as people would know outside.
Yeah.
I think Puttaparthi brings out a very different perspective to life than what Vrindavan does to you. And I think Vrindavan is very, very special for all the three sessions that we got.
Yes.
And when you come into Puttaparthi for your masters, there is a lot of trust and belief in your maturity, which the institute gives you, saying,
yes,
that you have come into your masters and now, and especially Swami, I think he considers the MBA and MFM boys, yes, very special.
Yes.
So we're really fortunate to have him come and speak to us in the college,
yes,
on our MBA days.
Yes.
And I was really fortunate to get a few chances during my MFM days wherein Swami came and spoke to me and I think answered a few of my questions. In fact, I think every MBA student has to choose a topic for their project.
Yes.
And I was thinking around and, you know, thinking about what should I choose? And I was very confused. I didn't really have a topic. And in fact, Swami himself came and gave me a topic,
mm-hmm,
on what you should do. And mm-hmm, all he said was that, you know, in his mind, I think India is way better than a lot of other countries. And he said, we look at some of these parameters like GDP and, you know, per capita income, which,
yes,
are actually not really the right metrics to,
yes,
evaluate nations. So that was his direction to me to do a project in that. And I chose a topic and I started looking at that and I came up with an index which decided that, you know, India is better than. So I think it was a very, you know, good topic given to me and that actually helped me get a job later on, you know, when I passed out.
Oh, wow.
That happened. So when I was being interviewed, and I think a lot of questions which were asked to me were about my project, and the,
wow,
person who heard this was very impressed with the thought process that I had. So it is actually very funny, you know, when I passed out and got my interview done, you know, I remember I was jobless before I got the job. I was jobless for almost 9 months,
oh,
after passing out of MBA.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I personally felt that was probably, I think that is Swami's way of, you know, teaching us that don't take your jobs for granted. You have to value what you get in life. If he wants, he can have the best of the companies to come to our colleges and have a placement. But he chooses to not have that.
Yes. I think he always wanted that there should not be any placement process in our university, because immediately then your mind is sort of fixed on your salary that you're going to get, and everything is just focused only on that.
Absolutely.
And you forget to appreciate and focus on the lessons of life, which will actually help you not only for the first salary, but, you know, your entire career.
Yeah.
I think Swami wanted us to focus more on that, because a job will anyway come.
Absolutely. So I think after I passed out of MBA, it took me a while to get my first job, and but when I got it, I think it was I think after that, by Swami's grace, there's been no looking back, and he's been really kind, and you know, he's taken care of me at every step of my career till date. He continues to guide us till date, and I think I just can't thank him enough for all that he has done for us.
So that first break in Citigroup, that's where you started your job, and you were there for 4 years. So, and then later on, of course, you've been 12 years with another company. Kapil, can I ask you, you've had a quite illustrious career. You're now the vice president of such a leading company. When you think about the time in the university, especially the time as a management student, I think there were so many aspects of personality development, as well as sharpening your intellectual and quantitative skills that happen in the management course. What are those aspects of the grooming that happened here, you think, is now in some way helping you, is what has shaped you to what you are now?
I think it's a lot of it, but if I were to choose the most important aspects, you know, that Swami has taught us, you know, I think Swami's emphasis on integrity is the most important part of it. As leaders, as we, a lot of us are leaders today in the organization, it's a lot about how people perceive you as a leader. And people look up to you for certain values. And I've seen a lot of leaders in my, you know, career, in my entire career. The leaders who actually get the maximum amount of respect and are considered role models are the ones who stand up for values, are the ones who completely believe in people centricity, who believe that, you know, their individual careers are not as important as the careers of the people whom they lead.
Wow.
And again, goes back to Swami said that, right, you know, it's not about you, it's about others, it's about being selfless. Because if you take care of your people, you are automatically taken care of. If you take care of your customers will take care of you.
Yes.
So I think it's integrity is very, very important. And I think Swami, all the values which Swami spoke about, when I look back, I think he knew what he was talking about. He was probably, I think, several decades ahead of what happens. He's always been ahead of time.
Yes.
Right? Actually, being ahead of time is not the right term, but he was preparing us for a time which was to come.
Yes.
And even things like he said, you know what, be stable in your jobs.
Hmm.
Do not hop jobs that often. And when I look at it today, you know, people who spend several years in a company are the ones who have the respect of the employers. Like our company today has a policy wherein if a person has had 4 or 5 job hops, that person doesn't even get called for an interview. His or her resume is immediately, you know, not even considered for an interview. And this was Swami's biggest advice to us.
Oh, I remember, yeah. I mean, so many times Swami used to mention this, and it didn't seem like a smart thing to do, because I think you used to hear that, you know, if you want to grow, you just hop. The faster you hop, and the number of hops you do, the you know, that much will be your acceleration in your job profile is what generally considered a smart way of sort of growing in the corporate sphere.
Today, everybody says that, you know what, we look at leaders and CEOs who have stayed with one company and seen all the four economic cycles. You know, because as a leader, if you have not seen the depression in the same company and then also seen the boom and also seen the growth path and the recession, you won't know how to react as a CEO when the company goes through these four cycles.
Yes.
So, and you have to be in one company to see that. And I think personally, when I speak to people who start their careers, I tell them that the most important virtue, which Swami also spoke about, was self-confidence.
Yes.
He spoke about the self-confidence is the foundation.
Yes.
And how does self-confidence come? Self-confidence does not come that the moment your boss starts giving you a tough time, you change the job. Because then you have not really gone through that difficult phase of winning self-confidence. The moment things do not, you start losing customers, you change the job. Or the moment you hit difficult times, you change the job. But if you actually go through all these cycles, at the end of 4 years or 5 years is when actually self-confidence comes to you. Because then you believe in your abilities that I can go through this.
Yes.
I can deal with this.
Yes.
I can, you know, make an impact. Even if the going is tough, I'll come out stronger. And that is self-confidence to, you know, in the corporate way that, you know, you can stand in front of like people, you can stand in front of customers and tell them, you know, I have seen this happen and I've come out of it victorious. I personally feel like, you know, Swami's stress on self-confidence, Swami's stress on being stable in the jobs, his emphasis on integrity.
Yes.
And you know, he was a perfectionist himself, like whether it was sports meet, whether it was music, drama, he wanted us to be like perfectionist. And I think we have to be really good in our work. Yes, integrity is important, but if you're not good in your work, if your professional competence doesn't speak for it, it will not take you anywhere. So I think all of the things that he taught us are what we see in the workplace today.
Wow. So it was Bhagwan's direction which propelled you to stay on in the company and give it enough time.
Absolutely. I think that was one of the key driving factors. And, you know, because it's not that things have not been, things don't get tough. Things do get tough. And you do think, you know what, maybe I should look for something different now. Maybe I should, but, you know, then as a leader, you're not walking the talk because you expect your people to stay with you. And then you want, you have to demonstrate the same thing.
In fact, that's very interesting. You know, as you mentioned, this is what Bhagwan advised us way back in the 80s itself when the MBA program started. And he kept on insisting this batch after batch. And today, when they have studied the personalities of some of the very leading CEOs of the world, Satya Nadella or Indra Nooyi, Nitin Noria, all these people, now they are saying that these people have become successful because of what you mentioned is integrity, and all these people have stayed in that organization.
Same organization.
They have stayed in the same organization. They have built that integrity, that trust. That is one. And second, as an offshoot, is all these people, they don't think about themselves.
Yeah.
They are people who are humble enough to learn from their peers. They are humble enough to accept suggestions, and they are people who are respected because of their humility.
Mm-hmm.
And when you are humble, then you have no qualms learning from even a subordinate.
Yeah.
Anybody can teach you, and you are willing to listen to a good advice coming from anyone. And people are more comfortable. So I think gone are those days where an aggressive, swashbuckling CEO was considered as a strong leader. Now is the time when a humble, yes, aggressive, but aggressive on a positive slant.
Yeah.
You need CEOs who, as you mentioned, I think aggressive on a positive stance is what is self-confidence all about.
Yeah.
You know what you're doing and you're absolutely confident what you're doing, but if you are anytime aggressive, then it is only for a larger good.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's so fantastic, isn't it? When you think about everything that Bhagwan, in fact, Bhagwan called it man management.
Yeah.
And he said men are more valuable than all the people in the world. So tell us, Kapil, when you think about your corporate career and this journey becoming a leader in the corporate sphere, can you identify a few instances, you know, which perhaps made you feel proud of yourself? Instances when you felt Swami, when you wanted to go to Swami and tell Swami, I have done this, are you happy with me now?
Yeah.
Or instances when you felt, thank God, I am a Sai student. It is only because I am a Sai student I could take this decision.
Yeah.
In this manner.
So again, I think I feel about like that, or I think at every moment, you know, and I think whether any small victory at workplace, you get a sense that it is because of Swami, because I do know that I'm not really a very, you know, I'm not a soup. I was pretty ordinary average student growing up. I was not one of those toppers. And I don't think I bring in a lot of virtues or skill sets on the table. It's just His grace. At times I feel, okay, thank you for giving me this opportunity. I can't think of one single moment like this, but I do want to share one of the very nice experiences I had. My first salary, because after having been jobless for 9 months, when you get your first salary, you do want to thank your parents.
Yes.
But you want to thank Swami because He gave me this education and He gave me... The divine parent. So when I got my first salary, you know, and I used to go to, there's a place in Delhi, there's a Shirdi Sai Baba temple in Delhi in Lodhi Road. I used to go there very often and, you know, I used to sit and just be there every day. This is way back in 2001. And I decided to come to Parthi. So I waited for one full year because for the leaves to happen. And, you know, it was again during the New Year time, 2001 December. I came here and I wanted to, you know, just the first salary, I wanted to give it to Swami. It was one of those things. I mean, it was first salary, very small amount, but it was just, you know, I wanted to give it to Swami and thank Him for, Swami, thank you for giving me this job. Thank you for, you're responsible for anything and everything that I am today. So I sat through those 15 days and we used to get a mandatory 2 weeks off in the banking sector. So I sat through the 15 days.
You spend the entire time in Parthi.
Entire time in Parthi. He didn't take my letter. He would take everybody's letter, but he didn't take my letter for 15 days. And last day, I was supposed to leave. So I said, okay, fine. You didn't take my letter. There's always professional couriers, right? So I sent the letter through professional couriers and in the morning. In the evening, I sat for darshan and I got a message that Satyajit brother wants to see you. Swami came for darshan and went inside interview room. And then I went to the Central Trust office to meet Satyajit brother. And he took out that envelope which I sent to Swami. And he said, Swami has kept your letter, but He has sent this check back for you.
Mm.
And he didn't say much, but he just gave that to me back. And I was like, brother, but why? But he said, no, He just gave this back to you. I didn't want to ask Him any more things. And so I was very disappointed, disheartened. Like, first time I wanted to give something to you and you just sent it back.
Mm.
Anyways, I went back and bhajans had started and then bhajans got over. And then I had to catch the train in the night. I think it was the Karnataka Express that I had to catch. And there were these current students who were studying. They came to me and they said, brother, Swami was talking about you. Mm-hmm. I was like... Really, it was, and apparently Swami spoke about it this for 5 minutes to all the students that, you know, today this boy sent a check to me and he wrote in the letter that it is my gratitude to you, but Swami doesn't need gratitude in the form of money. He wants, the only gratitude he needs is if you can get a good name for yourself, for your parents and for Swami and for the institute. That is my gratitude that I need. And he said, so he said a lot of things, but one very important thing that he said, which nobody else knew, was he said that this boy went at a temple which is opposite Sai Center. And that's where he got this thought that he should do something for Swami.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I had not shared that with anyone else and not even written it in the letter. And Swami had, what I had done was, whenever I used to go to this Shirdi Sai Baba temple in Delhi, and Shirdi Sai Baba temple is bang opposite Sai Center, geographically, you know, it's just bang opposite that. And I used to go there and see a lot of people distributing food and prasadam there. And I thought, maybe I should do the same. But then I got a thought, you know what, don't, the money that you have, don't give it there. When you go to Parthi, give this to Swami. That's the thought I got.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else knows that thought, but Swami, while wow. speaking, he knew where I got that thought.
Thought. The origin of the thought.
Origin of the thought. And I think from that day onwards, it was more about, he's constantly watching us. Yes. You know, he's always there with us. And not just physically, even at a mental state, you know.
Yes.
He's in our thoughts, he's in our feelings, he's everywhere. So that on the last day, it was an assurance that, you know, he didn't take the check, but it was, he said he accepted the feelings and the gratitude. And so I think that moment I realized that, you know, he's always with us, guiding us, protecting us. And it was, and also to add, you know, during that time, our family was not going through, financially was not going through very good times.
Mm-hmm.
And since that check came back into our family, I think, things just improved and changed.
Oh, wow.
So His grace is just, you know, you can't count His grace.
Wow. And I think, as Bhagwan always said, He is Bhava Priya, not Bahya Priya. So I think that feeling is what is most important for Him.
Yeah.
And of course, we have to take that one step. You know, you used to take that step of going to the Shirdi Baba temple every day and, you know, offering yourself, you know, sharing your precious moments with Him. And I think, It was those purity of those moments which perhaps, you know, touched the feet of Bhagwan. And
yeah.
And I think it just shows that anytime we have really a pure thought, he's so much there. And he's there very much at every thought of ours. But I think he wants to acknowledge those pure thoughts.
Yeah.
Because only then, you know, we get more encouraged to kindle those pure thoughts.
Yeah.
Otherwise, he's there at every thought of ours.
Yeah. And I think that's what brings us here, because when we are here, I think during this time, it's just that, you know, it's actually that we want to thank Him for the year, for the life, and for all the good times that we had with Him while we were studying here. So it's that, and it's, I think He needs those thoughts, but I think we need those thoughts more than Him, because in those moments of gratitude, I think there's a lot of bliss which comes through that.
Absolutely. It was a moment of gratitude for you, isn't it, at that point in time, when you wanted to give something. And I think every time we think of giving something, especially to the Lord, then we have only seen how it multiplies a millionfold.
Yeah, totally.
Because you can never ever give anything to Him and return empty hand.
No.
He just fills you with so much joy. And as you mentioned, I think you give Him something. He wants something not monetary. He wants something from the heart, that feeling. And He also fills you with that, isn't it? What you experience in Parthi, you cannot measure it in terms of money. You cannot measure it with any pleasure that can be bought with money in the world.
No.
What you get here is something, again, priceless and invaluable. And as you very rightly mentioned, that bliss. Mm. And, you know, you mentioned also about that self-confidence that Bhagwan instills. And, you know, when I listen to you, the thought that comes is that self-confidence in every Sai student comes because you know that He's there, isn't it?
You know that He's there. I think that's the most important thing. He's always watching your back all the time.
So has this helped you to take tough decisions in your corporate career, in your corporate life?
Of course. I think, you know, while I think it's one thing to, you know, say that I will follow Swami's teachings, it's a very difficult thing to actually do it. It's actually very, very difficult to do it. And there are times when you actually have to take those tough decisions, and sometimes in the short term, those tough decisions will not really give you the, you know, the returns that you expect them. You might become unpopular. You might become, people may not like you for being not so cool and not so, you know, what is probably universally accepted. Not going with the ways of the world. But it's, you know, one thing I've seen is if some of the large companies that we work for, there is a lot of emphasis on values. People do realize that following these values will eventually do them good only.
Yes.
You know, it's not just for individual satisfaction.
It's not just a spiritual thing to do. It is not just a thing which you have to do because a spiritual guru told you, or your beliefs, or you're because you're a Hindu or a Christian. You have to do it even if you have to go professionally.
Yeah, it's important. And I'll tell you, I think we have customers, and you know, if you do the right thing, which is, you know, you look at, you're being extremely transparent with the customers. You're sharing, you're basically telling the truth to the customers. Maybe in the short term, you know, some of this is not very, I'll say, you know, will lead to short term losses in the business, but those customers appreciate you for being transparent, for being truthful. And that's when you establish credibility with your customers. And once you establish credibility, sooner or later, maybe 2 to 3 years down the line, these customers will come back to you and not go to your competitors.
It has happened in your case?
It has happened, absolutely. It has happened, like, not just once, it has happened several times, wherein, you know, customers like you for what you did for them, and it's basically, you know, it's nothing, you're just thinking about their interest rather than thinking about your own interest.
Can you just give an example, Kapil? Any instance that you can share?
Yeah, I think there's several examples. You know, like in the business that I am in, you know, we deploy people who work for our customers. It's like, you know, I would hire 100 people for on behalf of my customer, and they would support them out of India in a US market. And there are times when, you know, capacity utilizations for these people would go down, mm-hmm. say 70%, 60% because of business realities. And now, you know, if you're extremely transparent with the customer and you tell the customer that, you know what, I don't need 100 people, I actually can manage the same process with 70 people, and you can only bill me for 70 people. So in the short term, it's a revenue loss for you because you're only getting revenue for 70 people as against getting revenue of 100 people.
Well, they easily got for 100. Then they're willing to pay for it.
For 100. Yeah. You don't need to, all you have to do is just stay quiet and not be transparent about it. Right? But if you create that visibility for the customers that, you know what, you can actually do but manage with 70. Now you have saved the customer. Yes, I have incurred lesser revenue, but I have saved the customer that additional cost for 30 people. Your quarterly revenues may be hit this quarter, but in the long term, you have established credibility with the customer and you're biting your own revenue, which is fine. But what happens is you got a customer for life.
Wow.
Because next time the customer wants to give you more business.
And that's what happened in your case.
It's happened. Mm. They would not go competitive. They'll go sole source with you, which means they will not roll out a competitive bid to our competitors. They'll say, you know what, we don't need to. We like working with you guys. You guys think about our interests over your interests. So it's, you know, convincing, and it's sometimes it's just convincing your people within your company that, you know, and I think it's a belief in your own values and a belief that I'm generating value for the customers. So while integrity is good, but you can't just thrive on integrity, you have to be competent as well.
Yes.
So the point I'm trying to make is if you are competent, if you bring passion and on the table and ideas and innovation and top it with integrity, you cannot fail in the business world. You have got a perfect, you know, solution for success with all of this put together.
Wow. And I think what you mentioned about, you know, this temporary loss, I remember Bhagwan saying that that is not loss at all. If you at any point in time follow Satya and Dharma, Swami says it can never be loss. So that is only sort of profit that was delayed so that it can come in multiples.
Yeah, absolutely, spot on. I think he was, I told you, right? He knew what he was talking, like 30 years ahead of us, right?
Wow, fantastic. And the message that you are sending out so strongly is values work in every way, in every sense, be it professional life, personal life, social life. And I think that is such an important message for the current generation, isn't it? Do you have a feeling that the current generation now is taking this message?
It's difficult to say, you know, because when I say current generation, you know, I mean like people who are growing up in an era of, instant gratification. Everything is so instant, right? They don't have to struggle for anything. At the click of a button, everything happens, like, and that's how they grow up.
Yes.
I think patience as a virtue is not really, they're not really learning patience as a virtue.
Yes.
Because everything is instant. And you can't blame them. It's not that it's their fault.
Yeah.
It's just the ecosystem is very different today.
Yes.
Than what we were. Like, we had to stand in a queue, to get hot water, get hot water for bath in the morning. We had to stand in a queue. We had to stand in a queue to have food, right? So everything we had to wait for Swami to
yes.
come, and everything was,
yes.
there was patience being built into us. But I think if you look at people today, they have, everything is instant. So when I look at today's, today's generation, I feel that, it's I think the value of the jobs that they get, because today getting a job is much easier. The economy is very different from what today is. People, there is a lot of entitlement in everything. I think they demand a lot of things. So I personally feel while they are far more sharper, far more intelligent, and they have a lot more perspectives at the age of 21 than what
yes.
I had. I don't think I had that much perspective.
Yes.
But the value system, which essentially involves the patience and hard work and persistence. And again, I'm probably generalizing and pigeonholing, which is not the right thing to do. I'm sure there are a lot of
yes.
Young people out there who believe in these values, but I've seen a lot of people come with a lot of sense of entitlement, which is something.
So as Bhagwan said, you think about your responsibility and rights you will get.
Yeah, so that's something is very different today, you know. I've seen people passing out, and I think, we would work for like 12, 14 hours a day in our early years of our career. Because we had a point to prove. We were catching up with the world. I think we had a point to prove. I think today's generation is very different. I think they want everything instant. They want growth instant. They want, I think they are far more smarter, intelligent than what we were at that age.
And I think, and you have, that's why Bhagwan bringing in these values. I think, along with intelligence and energy, you need this integrity.
Yeah.
And I think that is what is the most crucial thing which will make intelligence and energy work.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you see Bhagwan laying so much stress on while here and in his discourses, while talking to students or, you know, anything that concerned when it came to Bhagwan, he was always stressing only about this. Because I think other things, you will anyway pick up those other skills
yeah.
because the world makes you pick up those skills. But I think this is what will help you to leverage those other skills, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, Kapil, you're also involved in this Life is a Game Played program mm-hmm. in Delhi, and there you are actually dealing with college students of these times. So, how has it been your experience trying to communicate Bhagwan's message to these youngsters?
Actually, it's very beautiful. So, you know, and I'll be very honest, I didn't conceptualize it. I think there were a few people who conceptualized this idea, and I think it's a brilliant idea. So the idea has that, you know, when we go to colleges of Delhi, while we talk to them about Swami's teachings, but we don't really use Swami's word in it. Because what we want to say is, I think Swami's message is more important than, you know, it's important that they
give them the message and let them find out from where it came from.
Where it came from. It's like Swami said, no, a good product doesn't need any marketing. If the
yes.
product is good in itself,
yes.
like people will ask you, where did you study? You
yes.
know,
yeah.
how are you so
has
different?
It ever happened with you?
Oh, of course it has happened, I think, you know, and I think that's one moment when you really feel,
yeah,
you know, thank you, Swami, you know. That.
So your boss has ever asked you or...
I think peers? Some people have asked me, you know, like, where did you study? And, you know, you're still different from the crowd. So, which is great. I think that really makes you feel good. But coming back to Life as a Gameplay, I think what we wanted to do is, we wanted to go to the colleges. And we wanted to, like, Swami's message was personality development of students, which is not just academic. It has to be holistic, which is, you know, it's a holistic personality development. He spoke a lot about leadership. So what we have done is we've created a 9-module program, and every month we go and take a 2-hour session, and each module focuses and prepares them how to be a better leader, what does personality development mean? So the topics are, it should appeal to students who are actually not in Swami's fold, but the content is essentially Swami's teachings. So we take them through all of these programs, and we do also have one module wherein, you know, we take them to a place like Cheshire Home, which is a home for some of the people who are not so fortunate. Some of them are physically handicapped, mentally challenged. So we take them to those places and we make them serve those people, some of these students. And you should see, Prishti, I think it's unbelievable how, you know, we think the new generation, and that's when I realize these new generation, actually, if they are guided in the right way, a lot of them just go there and then they become regulars at these places. They go every week and start serving these people. When they realize that people are suffering and they are so fortunate and they need to share their fortune with the not so fortunate, they go there very often. So we build this up. So we speak to them about, you know, personality development, leadership, some of the very role model personalities, communication skills, and then we take them that, okay, service to society is also an integral part of personality development. And we take them to a place like that, and that's when we realize that, you know what, everybody feels for a fellow human being. It's just that you need to create an environment for it and create a, you know, a,
I mean, there is so much of goodness in everyone.
Inherent.
And you just have to create a milieu so that blossoms.
Absolutely. And so we've had people like give reviews at the end of the program that how this program actually opened up a new perspective. And a lot of these are psychology students, you know, which, but they said that the educational input that we were getting in college was great, but it was not complete till we got this input to fulfill. So I personally feel I personally have benefited. As I said, I didn't design the program, but just by learning the program and then being a facilitator to go to the colleges and present this has also helped me a lot. So
your best moment doing these programs?
I think the best moment is when we actually, at the end of the program, we ask some of the students to come and share their experiences. So when they share their experiences, that is one of the best moments. And I think some of the students have also become part of the Sai organization today.
Mm-hmm.
So which is one of the objectives as well, that how can you bring people in Swami's fold? And we really never tell them that, because the idea is not to, you know, tell them that we are here to, the idea is to just go there to help students.
Yes.
So with Swami's teachings.
Become
better human beings. And some of them come back and ask, you know what, you spoke about these quotes of Satya Sai Baba. Can we know a lot more about him? Can we read about him? And then you share books of Swami and then it just follows from there.
Wow. So it's very fulfilling, I think, when you in some way can become a medium to share his message and his love.
Absolutely.
And I think once you are a Sai student, you begin to do that in your own way. As you mentioned, you know, even when you're working in your office, people notice that there is something different in you. Has it ever happened that someone asks you that, how come that you don't have any of these habits which generally people have in the corporate world?
I think they ask me all the time. I think one of the questions they ask me is like, you know, so I said that I don't need to drink to be high on life. I'm already high on life. So the other thing I've learned is it's because, you know, you have to blend in at times. Yes. So you have to at least sound cool if you're not really cool. So yeah, there is, I think there are these moments, you know,
yeah.
But
With your confidence and a good sense of humor, you can deal with all these.
Yeah, you have got to do that.
Wonderful. It was a great joy, Kapil, talking to you. Thank you so much for taking time out. And I think it really gave us very beautiful perspectives also about the value of the management education that Bhagwan is has been giving and continues to give in his own way.
Yeah,
I think that learning from Bhagwan continues, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you continue to feel his presence in amazing ways. That happens all the time. And it's so beautiful that you're here for New Year. It's a time to recharge and reconnect. Not that the connection has gone away, but every time you come, you feel it more, isn't it?
It is homecoming. This is true homecoming.
Homecoming,
you know?
Yes. And I think it only fills you with renewed energy and vigor to walk on that path. And really, thank you so much for taking your time out and being there for Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories.
Thank you for giving me this opportunity. Sairam.
Sairam.
Tune in to Sight.
Spend the day with Sight. From 6 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
on Radio Sight Thursday Live.
Radio Sight.